Hello and welcome to Faith FM Drive Time. You're listening to Big Q&A. This is the show where we tackle life's biggest questions about God, faith, religion, and the Bible. Together we explore what the Bible really says about the issues that matter most and discover practical answers for everyday life. No question is off limits here because every question deserves an honest answer, and the Bible is where we must go for answers we can trust. Good evening, I'm Caden, your host for today. I'm the pastor of the Merrows Park and Brighton Seventh-day Adventist Churches here in Adelaide, South Australia. Thank you for joining me as we explore life's biggest questions and discover the hope God offers. This week on Drive Time, our theme, it's a good one, a holy masquerade. Are the faithful hypocrites? What a title was that. We're exploring one of the greatest objections many people have to Christianity today. Why do some Christians fail to live the life that they profess? And we're going to be looking at our big question today here on Thursday Drive Time. How can I help my children deal with hypocrisy? Children are remarkably perceptive. If you've picked it up, they notice when words and actions don't match, whether at home or in the community or at church. And sadly, when they see hypocrisy in people who claim to follow Jesus, it can leave them confused or disappointed, maybe even questioning their faith. So we're going to be looking at how to deal with this evening. We're going to be exploring this big question together. And to help us do that, I'd like to welcome back to the studio, seriously not a hypocrite, Lindy Spearing.
I think I might be at times, Pastor Caden, definitely a hypocrite. So,
I think we're looking for an expert witness this evening and we weren't able to find one.
Thank you. Maybe it's me.
We're grateful that you're here and hopefully you'll be able to help us out to tell us a bit about this big question. How can I help my child deal with hypocrisy? It's an interesting one, isn't it?
It is very interesting and it's very common, sadly. Yeah.
Before we do go to this big question, though, we do begin with looking at the news and what's going on at the moment. And so this is our World Watch segments. And this evening, Lindy, we're going back to Israel and to Jerusalem, in fact. And this article is from the Christian Post. Just this week, July the 20th, the headline read, "Charred wooden beams from Solomon's Temple unearthed in Jerusalem." Archaeologists recently unearthed wooden charred remains from Solomon's Temple in Jerusalem, according to a Monday report. The Israel Antiquities Authority announced that archaeologists had discovered large wooden beams, discovered these during an excavation that showed evidence of fire damage, presumably from the first temple's destruction by the Babylonians in 586 BC, the Jerusalem Post reports. The dig at the Jerusalem Walls National Park in the City of David found the beams in the remains of a building that had collapsed during the fire, and plaster that melted from the temple's walls reportedly sealed the woods and preserved it for more than 2.5 millennia. That's a very long time, Lindy.
It certainly is a long time.
It goes on and says, "The beams appear to have served as the roof of an inner courtyard in a building from the first temple period," IAA excavation director Ephrat Botcher told the Jerusalem Post. Botcher noted the significance of this ancient find taking place shortly before Tisha B'Av, which falls this year from the evening of July 22 to July 23. The day of fasting and mourning is commemorated annually in Judaism to lament the destruction of both the first temple by the Babylonians in 586 BC and the destruction of the second temple by the Romans in AD 70.
This is fairly significant, actually, Pastor Caden, because the Jewish people are still, they're noting that this has happened around the same time that they have this anniversary honouring these other traditions and other sad occasions that had happened. So it's fairly significant that they're putting this together.
Yeah, it is very, very significant. And the timing as well.
The timing's very significant for them.
Yes, that's right. And the article goes on and says, Joanna Regev, another archaeologist with the IAA, told the Israeli outlets that such a find is unusual and that the growth rings of the wood help them date it. It is very rare in Israel to find wood with such a large number of growth rings. Here in the city of David, we found thick beams with many rings offering significant research potential, with more growth rings enabling higher dating resolution, she said. Until now, we could find dates within a range of hundreds of years, but now we can attain much greater precision, narrowing the dating range down to as little as 10 years.
Very interesting.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Israeli Heritage Minister also noted the significance of the discovery and echoed Boetsch's observation that it happened shortly before Tisha B'Av. Jerusalem's soil continues to provide tangible evidence of the city's ancient past. The wooden beams burned in the destruction of the first temple stand as a powerful reminder of the Jewish people's presence in Jerusalem some 2,600 years ago. So, Lindy, this first temple, King Solomon's temple, it was built during his reign in the 10th century BC. And this first temple, when it was built, replaced the tabernacle as the perfect place, the permanent place for the ark and the temple sanctuary services and the presence of God and the Holy of Holies. And the article notes that after more than a century of warnings from prophets such as Isaiah and Micah, who prophesied impending judgment for Israel and Judah's idolatry, King Nebuchadnezzar of the Neo-Babylonian Empire sacked Jerusalem and burnt that first temple, looting its treasures and took many of the Israelites to Babylon in exile.
That's where we come with the book of Daniel.
Yeah, and that's where the story of Daniel picks up from when the Israelites were there. But the temple was rebuilt later on, and the Israelites, the Jews, were allowed to go free. 70 years later, not all of them went straight away, but as time went on, more and more went, and they went back to Jerusalem and they rebuilt the temple.
That's right.
And that was the second temple, and that was the temple around in Christ's time.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, that got destroyed, and Jesus prophesied
it. That's right.
It did in Matthew 24 and other places, and it got destroyed in AD 70.
Mm-hmm.
But what they've discovered here, Lindy, is these wooden charred remains of that first temple, King Solomon's temple. So we're going back quite a long way away.
Look, I think it's exciting to find evidence that the Bible is true.
Yeah.
That the history of the Bible is true. And as that archaeologist pointed out, she was saying, you know, before we could only date something within a range of hundreds of years.
Yes.
But with this type of the rings on the tree, they'll be able to date range down to as little as 10 years, to another way to verify what the Bible is saying. My concern a little bit is, Pastor Caden, I don't know what you think, but the Jewish people will probably see this as fairly significant because there's a lot of Jews looking for the re-establishment of Jerusalem and for that city to be re-established. But Jesus said quite clearly, not one stone will be left upon another, it'll be thrown down. There is nothing in prophecy, really, that points to the literal restoration of Jerusalem.
No, so, that's right.
What, this is an amazing article and we're excited to see something else that confirms the Bible that we love and believe. We need to remember that the Bible does make it clear when you read it as a whole and understand through the power of the Holy Spirit that the new Jerusalem is the one that will be in heaven and that will come back to earth.
And that's one that man's hands haven't built. That's built by God.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And that the new Israelites, if you like, or the new people of God are all those who turn to God. Just like when Jesus came, he instructed his disciples to go out and to preach the gospel, and then he called up Paul to go out to the Gentiles as well, not just the Jews. And so it was opened up to the whole world, really, this gospel, these truths for the salvation of all. It had always been there, but it was more clearly observed that the Gentiles and those outside the Jewish faith were allowed into the kingdom.
Yeah.
And blessings.
And Lindy, more and more discoveries like these are being unearthed, gets the biblical story and confirms it.
It confirms it. It supports it. And I think it's interesting, we've sort of thought we found Noah's Ark and other evidence that I'm thankful that God's allowed it to be found.
Yes.
And that it's still in enough good quality to confirm what the Bible says. And there's been so many things, haven't there?
Oh, yeah.
You know, when the scrolls were found and when certain cities were uncovered, and we're just like, wow, just another evidence that the Bible is true. Even to think, you know, we went to Cooperpedia a while back, and there's shells there.
Yes, so that
used to
I've
be
seen that.
Covered in water. It used to be
it's
in
incredible.
Ocean over
it, right in the middle of Australia.
That's right. So the flood even did come over the whole earth. And as I was driving to work this morning down Main North Road, the most beautiful, brilliant rainbow, and then a second one just lightly behind it.
Yeah, really.
Just to remind us of God's promise that the earth won't be totally flooded ever again.
Yeah, no, it's so good to see these glimpses of God and of His Word and the lasting authority of the Bible just throughout our world. And there's many people out there searching for these treasures in the earth and the discoveries of archaeology. And actually, Lindy, here in Adelaide, we have an archaeology series coming
really?
Up. Yeah, and it's called Treasures of the Past. So if you are listening and you're from the Adelaide area, we want to tell you a bit about this archaeology event coming up. Let me just play you a short promo where you'll hear Gary's voice from Wednesday on Drive Time.
Beneath the sands, buried in forgotten cities, hidden in tombs, temples and royal palaces, the past has been waiting to speak. For thousands of years, empires rose and fell. Pharaohs built monuments to eternity. Kings carved their victories in stone. And now, treasures are being unearthed. This August, the search begins. Step into the ancient world at Treasures of the Past. A truly unforgettable live event featuring stunning visuals, fascinating evidence and powerful storytelling. It all begins at the Domain Theatre in Marion on Friday, August the 21st. Across four thrilling weekends, presenter Caden Pepper will lead you on a search for the treasures of the ancient world, exploring amazing discoveries in biblical archaeology, in history and prophecy. Walk in the footsteps of Egypt's legendary pharaohs. Pass through Petra's rose-red cliffs. Enter Persia's royal palaces and cliff-carved tombs. Stand among the marble ruins of Greece. Descend into the Dead Sea. Journey up to Jerusalem. And step into Rome where Caesars ruled and arenas roared. Don't miss Treasures of the Past, where every session also includes our free Treasure Hunters Kids Club, an exciting adventure of fun and discovery for children aged 3 to 10. For the curious, the adventurous, and anyone ready to unearth hidden treasures, this series is for you. Treasures of the Past is completely free, but seats are limited. Book now at eventbrite.com. Search for Treasures of the Past.
Yeah, there's no other type of topic like archaeology that really affirms the Bible, Lindy.
It's so interesting too. You just can't believe what's been found and discovered.
Yeah, I know one of the sessions in this series is on the House of David, and right. The year I was born, they still hadn't found any evidence that even King David existed.
Isn't that amazing? And
But then the following year after I was born,
yes,
they dug it up. And the critics,
just for you, Pastor Kate.
The critics said that David didn't exist, or if he did, he was just like some tribal chief. And then later they've dug it up, and since then they've dug up a whole lot of more evidence. And, you know, they keep digging up more, as we've just read just this week with these temple beams.
You don't need to ever doubt the Bible.
No, no. So if you want to see proof that the Bible is real, that God is real, and that Jesus Christ is your personal Saviour, we encourage you to come along to Treasures of the Past if you live in the Adelaide area and book through Eventbrite.
It strengthens your faith as well. Even if you believe in the Bible and you believe in God, it strengthens your faith and it gives you information to share with others as well.
Yeah.
Encourage them.
Yeah.
Did you know this was found? This shows the Bible's true. Why don't you come along and see what it has to say?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. When you have real tangible evidence like this, it's hard to deny, really. Okay. Well, Lindy, thank you for your participation in this World Watch. We're going to go to a song now, but don't go anywhere. We'll be back very soon with our big question.
The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the
back. You're listening to Faith FM Drive Time. Big Q&A with Lindy and Caden. This week, our theme has been on hypocrites, a holy masquerade. Are the faithful just hypocrites? And today, our big question is, how can I help my children deal with hypocrisy? Before we dive into this fascinating topic, we have a free book offer that we want to offer each of you. This book is entitled I See Jesus. Let me tell you a bit about it. Helping children develop a genuine relationship with Jesus is one of the greatest gifts we can ever give them. But how do we help them recognize that Jesus is with them, not just at church or during worship, but in the ordinary moments of everyday life? This book, I See Jesus, is a delightful devotional design, especially for children and families. Through 53 engaging stories, photographs, and practical life lessons, young readers are encouraged to discover the kindness, compassion, and constant presence of Jesus in the world around them. And so in this book, I See Jesus, each devotion connects everyday experiences with the biblical truths, helping children build strong values, resilient character, and a growing friendship with their forever friends. Whether it's at home or school or out in nature, this book helps children see that Jesus is always near and always cares. This is a perfect book if you have children or you know children, you're looking for something for family worship or just bedtime reading. I See Jesus is a wonderful resource for anyone, parents, grandparents, anyone wanting to nurture a child's faith in a warm, practical and Christ-centered way. And today this book is free. This is our free offer for today. To get this free offer, you just need to text us on our drive time number a code. The code you text us to claim this offer is SA426, and you just text that to our drive time number 0488 808 11, and we'll send this out to you straight away. Again, the code is SA426. And you just message that to our drive time number 0488 808 11, and we'll get this book to you as quickly as we can. And by the way, if you want to order this for someone else, you can also do that too. Perhaps someone you know, you're thinking this book could be good for them or their family. You just need to text us the code SA426 to 0488 808 11. We would love to get this book to you. And if you have any questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you as well. You can also message us on that number, 0488 808 11. Well, Lindy, this week we're dealing with hypocrites. And today's big question is, how can I help my children deal with hypocrisy? I know we're both parents, and I think we're both perfect parents, aren't we, Lindy?
I wish that were true, but sadly, no. I don't know about you, but no, I'm not. Not me.
Somehow I'm definitely not.
I've got a few things wrong.
Now,
to my children.
Yeah. You know, Lindy, Christians are often painted as hypocrites, and sometimes there's good reason for that.
Well, Pastor Caden, you are probably accused of being a hypocrite sometimes.
Absolutely.
And
I probably am many times.
We are. I think we all are hypocrites at times, because we hold up a standard and there's an expectation.
But we're not perfect ourselves.
We're not perfect.
Mm.
But I think real, true hypocrisy is when we are deliberately and consistently.
Yeah.
You know, we have this pattern of behaviour that contradicts the beliefs that we have.
Yes.
You know, like every parent gets it wrong sometimes.
Absolutely.
And your children are a bit younger than mine. Mine are a bit older.
Mine are a bit more forgiving at this stage.
They're probably a bit more forgiving, and they may always be. Mine are a bit older, perhaps not quite so forgiving. And it's really funny how sometimes you can be led to blame other people for your problems and issues and mistakes, and sometimes just you're sort of looking to a person and putting them on a pedestal and expecting them to be perfect.
Yeah.
So, you know, we as Christians, we say we love Jesus. We have faith in Jesus. We want to follow Jesus. And yet we're sometimes caught up in sin, and so that can just show others that our faith isn't genuine. Remember when the Pharisees copped it from Jesus? Do you remember that?
Well, I remember it quite a few. I remember it quite a few times. The Pharisees got absolutely roasted.
Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees!
Yes,
hypocrites.
Classic.
For you cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you're full of extortion and self-indulgence. Now that's pretty full on.
That is full on.
Jesus is confronting them. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. You know, this is the sort of discussion that Jesus was having with the Pharisees, but I'm sure he said it with love in his heart and probably tears in his eyes. You know, he was really confronting them. And I know that the Apostle Paul sometimes struggled with wanting to do the right thing. So we want to do the right thing. So I don't know, I've got stories of standing on the steps of church and hearing people talking badly about my mother.
Yeah.
And I just felt, well, what hypocrites you are. I was only young.
Yes.
And I got caught up sometimes in looking at the people, expecting them to be, you're a Christian, you should behave better. And that's been thrown at me as well.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're a Christian, I want to borrow some money, you should just give it to me. And I've had that said from a family member. And there's been other things said. I suppose you've had the same thing, Pastor Caden.
Yeah, absolutely. I've definitely seen my fair share as well.
And you know what happens in a church organization, because we do have high standards, because we do want to honor God, follow the commandments, do what is right, there's sort of an expectation that we're all going to get along beautifully, not have any problems. And yet in the Bible, the disciples had their issues. Paul had issues with different people,
yes.
Personality issues.
Yes.
And sometimes young people are looking for that role model, that perfect person, and they get let down and discouraged. So what are we going to do?
What are we going to do? And especially for our children, Lindy, how are we going to help our children deal with all this?
Well, I suppose one of the things is probably being honest with our children.
Okay.
And if we make a mistake, let's say, I don't know, Pastor Caden, have you ever driven to church one day and you go into church and everything's lovely, the program's nice and the music's lovely, and everyone's getting on well, your children are behaving, and then you have a nice lunch with the folk, you hop in the car and you drive home and somebody cuts you off or does something completely ridiculous, they're on their mobile phone, and you just get so frustrated with them and call them some names and everything.
Yes.
And your children are sitting in the back and they're like, hold on, Dad's been at church, he's preached up the front, everything was lovely. What's happened?
What's
now?
Happened? There's I probably wouldn't call the names, but I probably would retaliate instead.
You might
instead.
Retaliate on the horn and say, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Oh, especially if they give you a fright and
I'm working on that now, so I hope I wouldn't do it now. But in the past, yes, yeah, Lindy, how did you know?
I didn't actually. Hold on, you're a male. No. Don't worry, I think we can all do it, whatever, male or female, whoever we are.
Yeah.
But it's just an example that
I would hate it to be a church member in the car that I retaliate to.
I'm sure I've heard a story about that once.
Have you?
Yes.
Oh, please.
I know that sometime we were driving to church and Glenn was getting a bit frustrated.
Oh, yeah?
And after a while I said, honey, those people seem to be going in the same direction as
us.
Oh,
no.
And they pulled into church.
Really?
Yes.
So. That must have been a fun car park experience.
Well, I don't think they realised we were able to quickly get inside before they recognised the car.
Yeah, okay.
But, And I don't even know if they heard anything because it was possibly a discussion in the car that didn't go outside. But it's not the point.
It's not, no.
But still, so we can be – I think it's important with our children, if they see something hypocritical, whether in us or someone else, we have an honest talk with them about it.
Yeah.
We perhaps say, look, you know, rather than ignoring the hypocritical behaviour that our children see, perhaps acknowledge that this is the reality of it. This is what happens. It's just – normal human behavior. And if a child brings it up, because sometimes they'll go, oh, you should have seen how so-and-so was behaving at church today, or, oh, they call themselves a Christian, but they were doing this or doing that, you know, and we can all get caught up in that trap. I think we need to let the children know they can talk about this, about hypocritical behavior, and let them know that we're not going to get upset with them if they point it out. Oh, well, Mum, you say that we should never swear or we should never – or whatever it is, but you said a bad word. And sometimes a bad word is just a slang word. It may not be a swearing word. But children pick up on these things.
Yeah, they're like sponges, aren't they? Their minds.
Like sponges.
And, yeah, they will copy
absolutely
what they see and what they hear.
So I think we should let them – we should engage with them open and honestly.
Yeah.
Often as adults we've taught – we try to pretend they're not hearing or seeing what's going on, especially when they're really little. they pick up on things, even if they don't react to it or say something, they're still taking it all in,
yeah,
like a sponge, as you said.
Yeah, and as I reflect, you know, there's probably times where we get agitated ourselves with other people who might act hypocritically, and we might, you know, converse as that with adults, with children present, and just, you know, go on and on about this and boil over these things. But I don't think that's necessarily good for the kids who might be listening in to these conversations.
I think you're right. I really like the point that you've made, because as parents, we can be traveling home from church or over a meal and we're discussing a behavior or an outcome with some person in front of the children.
Yeah.
And they're hearing us being judgmental.
Yes.
They're hearing us making, and when we're judgmental, we tend to then push that person away in a sense, or we don't go to seek them out.
Yeah.
And then our children observe this behavior, and it's not godly, it's not healthy, and it's not good. And so I think we need to have an honest conversation with our children about hypocrisy. I suppose there's some other things that we can do. We can encourage our children to, you know, think about the hypocritical behavior they've experienced and think about what Jesus might think about that.
Yep.
You know, we know Jesus called out people who were being hypocritical.
Yes.
But they were the leaders as well. If we've got people in our church or even in our workplace that say that they're Christians, I don't see why we can't go and have a little discussion with them. And we can also, you know, perhaps help them to come to terms with the impact that their behaviour is having on others in a nice sort of way. You know, you claim, I probably wouldn't go in and say, well, you claim to be a Christian, but I suppose we could just say, look, can we talk about what's happened, and maybe they're going through a difficult time, maybe they're struggling in a particular area, rather than being judgmental. But I think it's good to talk to our children about what Jesus might be and how he reacts in Christ-like ways to hypocrites, because he came across everyone that he came across, his own disciples were hypocrites.
Yes.
They were saying they're following Jesus and that they were fighting over, well, who's the greatest amongst us all? So, yes, I think we need to think about how Jesus would react.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Have you had any sort of situations where you've really felt like such a hypocrite that you've had to do something to smooth it over?
Oh, yeah. I've probably done it so many times that it's not great.
We can do it with our spouse, we can do it with our colleagues, we can do it with our parishioners, we can do it.
Yeah, and you can get in the habit of doing it. I really feel like sometimes you can have a culture within a workplace or a home or a community, whatever, where this sort of creeps in and becomes the culture, and we sort of need to go against the grain and go against that culture, which can be, I've found, really challenging in the past.
Yes.
To have that, being exposed to it, but then not do it or be part of it yourself. I've really found that challenging, Lindy, in the past, to be, you know, different amongst everyone else. And there's many times where I've just, in my earlier years, succumbed and be like everyone else, and it just doesn't feel good.
Oh, I understand what you're saying. I think also we should look to helping our children, because as you say, they're sponges, they're very easily influenced, to separate out sometimes the behaviour from the person.
Yes.
Because often what happens, young people say, well, I don't want to go to this church, they're all hypocrites. Well, we're all hypocrites. And they judge the church, and sometimes they then judge God and Jesus by the behaviour of people.
Yes.
And I think we need to help our children understand that God loves all of us. He loves us unconditionally. He even loves us hypocritical. So while we don't like the behaviour or the sin or what they're doing, we need to show respect and care and love for that person, just as God does.
Yes.
He shows that. You remember the woman caught in the act of adultery?
Yes.
Jesus showed her such respect. And he didn't condemn her, and he said, you've got a new chance at life now. Go and sin no more.
Yes.
So this is how God, and I think also we probably should be careful to encourage our children not to be gossiping about people who are hypocritical not spread it around, but speak respectfully about people to our children and ask our children to be respectful of others and a person's life and their dignity and just to show respect to them.
Yeah.
So our children can learn these things at a young age, very young age really.
Yeah.
Probably from 5, 6, you can start talking to them, even perhaps younger, when they notice things, because they notice things.
Yes, and it's important when dealing with kids, families or parents, to train them up in the right way and allow them to experience and gain a relationship with Jesus Christ and have the Holy Spirit in their lives so that they themselves can gain strength to not become like this themselves, because the devil wants us all to be hypocrites and to do that sort of thing, and you can easily take over and become hypocritical. But by God and His Spirit and Him working in us, we can have the victory over all these things, including hypocrisy.
Look, I think it's important if we can help our children to understand that Christians are sinners, they're saved, but they're not perfect. And so because a lot of young people have left churches because of hypocrisy, it might be a bit of an excuse. They go, oh, I don't want to belong to them because they're not genuine. But they need to see God in us, and they need to see that in our own lives we should make sure that we spend time with the Lord every day, listening to Him, praying, so that our lives, even though we're still sinners in need of a Saviour, hopefully our children will notice that we've changed. And my older children have noticed that my husband and I have changed quite a lot in recent years as we've grown with our walk with the Lord, as we've come to terms with some of the things that we were caught up in, that we've put those aside, that we've got the Holy Spirit living in our lives. So I think it's important for us to be very frank and open and honest with our children.
Yeah.
We can trust them with our hearts and being open and honest with them.
Yeah. Lindy, that's really good. Let's go to a break and we'll play a song now. It's a good one. Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. You know, if we just did that, I think all our problems and worries would fade away. This is Fountain View Academy.
Turn your
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strange.
Was Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Welcome back. You're listening to Faith FM Drive Time, Big Q&A with Lindy and Caden. This week, our theme has been looking at hypocrites in the church. And today, we've been talking about how to deal with children about this issue of hypocrisy. And we've got Lindy Spearing in the studio with us this evening, joining me. And we've been looking at this fascinating topic, something that none of us can avoid, really. We've just been sharing that we're all guilty of hypocrisy at times. And today we've got a free offer, but we have found out that we are experiencing technical issues, and those requests for this book are not going through. And so if you've requested this book and you've texted in but you haven't got a response yet from us, it's because there are some technical issues going on. We hope to resolve them as quickly as possible. But if you don't get a response from us, you perhaps will need to claim this book tomorrow evening. This book is a book for families and children called I See Jesus. And it's a devotional type book looking at how everyday experiences of what different people go through in various stories and encounters can help children discover biblical truths, values, and building resilience and growing in the friendship with God. And so this book here, it's a great book for family worship or bedtime story. And whether you've got kids, or you know people got kids, or you're a grandparent or a parent, this is a book that you will benefit from. It's called I See Jesus. And so just write that down, the code. It's SA426. And you text that to our drive time number 0488880811. Unfortunately, our system is down at the moment. And so we hope to get that back up and running very, very soon. Lindy, before we go back to you, we're going to be playing an ad for a big event happening here in South Australia for Faith FM called Treasures of the Past.
Sounds fascinating.
It's an archaeology event where the treasures of the biblical world are being unearthed.
Fantastic.
So let's listen to this.
Beneath the sands, buried in forgotten cities, hidden in tombs, temples, and royal palaces, the past has been waiting to speak. For thousands of years, empires rose and fell. Pharaohs built monuments to eternity. Kings carved their victories in stone. And now, treasures are being unearthed. This August, the search begins. Step into the ancient world at Treasures of the Past. A truly unforgettable live event featuring stunning visuals, fascinating evidence, and powerful storytelling. It all begins at the Domain Theatre in Marion on Friday, August the 21st. Across four thrilling weekends, presenter Caden Pepper will lead you on a search for the treasures of the ancient world, exploring amazing discoveries in biblical archaeology, in history and prophecy. Walk in the footsteps of Egypt's legendary pharaohs. Pass through Petra's rose-red cliffs. Enter Persia's royal palaces and cliff-carved tombs. Stand among the marble ruins of Greece. Descend into the Dead Sea. Journey up to Jerusalem. And step into Rome, where Caesars ruled and arenas roared. Don't miss Treasures of the Past, where every session also includes our free Treasure Hunters Kids Club, an exciting adventure of fun and discovery for children aged 3 to 10. For the curious, the adventurous, and anyone ready to unearth hidden treasures. This series is for you. Treasures of the Past is completely free, but seats are limited. Book now at eventbrite.com. Search for Treasures of the Past.
I'm looking forward to this one, Lindy, and not just because I'll be presenting at this one.
It'll be fantastic. You've always had an interest in this area, haven't you, Pastor Caden? And, you know, when I saw the promo myself, seeing it as well as not just hearing it, I thought, wow, this is really professional, really fantastic. And I think a lot of people are interested in these type of programs.
This is a crowd drawer.
Because you won't see this on TV. You're not going to see it in a video. You're going to be right there in person viewing and seeing what's happened in the past.
We only started promoting this online just a couple of days ago, Monday and Tuesday this week. We finally got it all there because we're a month away now. And already we've got a number of bookings come in, over 250. And that means, you know, it's the equivalent of one of the 19 sessions that we're holding already filled. And we've only just started with the advertising. This is a lot of people are interested in this.
Praise the Lord for that.
So if you're in the Adelaide area, you don't want to miss out. This is at the Marion Cultural Centre at the Domain Theatre. And
you can book
your tickets at Eventbrite. We are running two sessions on the first night.
Okay.
And we'll see how we go with the rest. But Lindy, we're going to wrap up this topic this evening. How can we help children deal with hypocrisy? We've established, Lindy, that we're all hypocrites at times, and that children are like sponges, and that churches are often perceived as very hypocritical places.
You know, I think it's really important to sometimes be a little self-aware of how you are.
Yes.
Not just as a parent. We are particularly talking about children here today. As a parent or an aunt or an uncle or a grandparent, children are looking to adults to find their way.
Yeah.
They are looking for someone they can emulate, someone they can look up to, someone who will mentor them, someone who will love them and care for them. And so I think we need to be honest with our children that people can be hypocritical.
Yes.
All of us.
Yes.
They can be, we can be. And I think it's important to pray with our children.
Yes.
Pray that those who are hypocritical would come to realize that they're like being like that and they need to change their lives, get into a special and good relationship with the Lord God, and to have some healing in those situations, because many churches have suffered, haven't they, when you think about it, with hypocrisy.
Yeah, you know, this could be one of the top reasons why people leave the church, children or,
yes,
you know, teens or young adults leave the church over,
yes,
this issue.
More than doctrinal type of things.
Oh, absolutely,
it's more
about, isn't it?
Behaviour of others, how they're treated.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes young people like to rebel. They might turn up at church with wearing something or looking a different way, their hair a particular colour. And sometimes the well-meaning saints will say things and it comes out wrong.
Yes.
And that child can be quite affected. So I just reiterate, we need to fight hypocrisy in our own lives, spend time praying. And, you know, look, the Apostle Paul, he struggled a little bit with this too. If you look in Romans 7.
Yes.
He talks about sin. And he's quite, you know, there's quite a whole chapter on sin and advantage of sin in the law and trying to understand all of this. But one thing he says, for we know that the law is spiritual, and I really like this, but I am carnal, sold unto sin.
Yeah.
So he's recognizing that we are sinners, all in,
yes,
need of a Saviour.
Yes.
Because he says, for what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. You know, he's quite, what are you trying to say, Paul? If then I do what I will not do, I agree with the law that it is good. And it goes on. But really what he's saying is, I don't want to do those things. I know they're not right, they're not good, but the sinful side of me does those things.
We're going to mess up.
We're going to mess up. We're going to make mistakes. And if we can be open and honest with our children, whatever age they are, then I think they can start to understand that all of us can be hypocritical at times, but instead of being judgmental and critical, we want to pray for that person. We want to try to bring healing to the relationship for that person with God and with other people. And so being purposeful about saying, let's sit down. You know, a child might come home from church, Pastor Caden, and make a comment to you. Talk to them about it. Sit down and pray. Let's pray for that church elder. He must have been having a bad day, or he doesn't recognize his behavior is not godly, not appropriate. And so I think it takes a totally different attitude than talking about them over lunch and how dare that person talk to my child like that. You know, that human response rather than a godly response. And we are then emulating to our children that we want to be in line with God as well.
Yeah, I just love Colossians chapter 3, starting from verse 13. Be gentle, be quick to forgive, never hold grudges. Lindy, we're all going to mess up, and there's going to be people in our lives who are going to mess up as well. This is solid advice, because it says, remember the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others.
Absolutely.
And when it comes to our children, we need to be teaching our children these important values. Verse 14 says, most of all, let love guide your life, and then the whole church will stay together in perfect harmony. Let the peace of heart that comes from Christ be always present in your hearts and lives, for this is the responsibility and privilege as members of his body, and always be thankful.
And I think that is so true and so encouraging. You know, I remember this silly old song, "Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I can't wait to look in the mirror. I get better looking each day." You know, it's such a silly song.
Yeah, right. I haven't heard that song.
Oh, no, I'm not going to sing
What's it go like?
Oh Lord, it's hard to be humble. Anyway, it's we have to recognize, we all have to humble ourselves and recognize that we make mistakes, that we are not perfect, that we sin, that we hurt others. If we can have that openness and that attitude, I think it's a real help to our children, that they can really be blessed.
Yeah.
Now, there's one other thing, Pastor Caden, and this can be hard. Sometimes we need to apologize to our children.
Yeah.
I've had to do it when they were younger, and I've had to do it when they're older, that I've made mistakes, I've said something or done something, I've hurt them. And I think if children can see us taking responsibility for our mistakes, and it helps them to be able to do that as well, you know, not to sort of just hang on to being prideful and resentful and, you know, and it's important when we humble ourselves like this, even with our children, I think it shows to them that our relationship with God is really important, and we really like our relationship.
Yeah, it's true.
We love him. We want to have a respectful relationship with each other, and we want to certainly have a close and intimate relationship with God. You know, and even if you go to a church where there's a big problem with hypocrisy, we can pray about it, and we can ask God to help fight that fight on behalf of our family.
I've seen churches turn around through prayer in difficult situations.
Absolutely.
And so nothing's impossible through God.
There's a beautiful song, "Praise the Lord. He can work through those who praise him. God inhabits praise."
Yes.
And I just love that song.
That's right.
God inhabits praise. And James 4:8 says, "Come near to God and he will come near to you." And so if we recognize that hypocrisy is going to happen in our family, not just even on spiritual things, but on all sorts of things, and if we are open and honest with our children, we engage with them honestly, we think about how Jesus responds to hypocritical people, we ask God to help us to see, and our children to see hypocritical people or hypocritical behavior from the right perspective, we pray with our children, we make sure in our own lives we ask God to help us not to be hypocritical, and we are willing to humble ourselves and apologize to our children, I think it can make all the difference for our children's spiritual walk with the Lord and their relationship with others.
Oh, that is just solid advice. And we just want to thank you, Lindy, for sharing a bit on that important, tricky topic.
It is a tricky topic.
But I hope you've been truly blessed this evening. And our time is up. Thank you for joining Lindy and Caden on Drive Time Big Q&A. We invite you to join us back tomorrow when Emily and Naomi continue this theme, and they're going to be asking the question, "I've been hurt by hypocrisy. What now?" Until then, may God richly bless you.
Have you ever heard a story that woke inside your heart? Longings you could not express. Like maybe there is something so much better than you dreamed, and it's the answer to that aching in your chest. Have you ever wanted to be better than you knew you could be, or experience something beautiful that filled your heart with peace? It's in your honest moments, in these beautiful things, you have heard Jesus, you've heard Him calling. He has been knocking. Let Jesus in, let Jesus in, let Jesus in to your heart. Don't turn Him away, don't wait another day. Let Jesus into your heart. Ooh, let Jesus into your heart. In the laughter of a child, in the mountains tall and wild, in a melody, in the kindness of a friend, in the hope that this is not the end. You have heard Him speak. It's in your honest moments, in these beautiful things, you have heard Jesus, you've heard Him calling. He has been knocking. Let Jesus in, let Jesus in, let Jesus in to your heart. Don't turn Him away, don't wait another day. Let Jesus into your heart. Ooh, let Jesus into your heart. Whether you're young or old, if your heart's grown cold and you're regretting things that you've done, but deep down in your heart you want a new start, and right now you are feeling God's tug. It's not too late to throw open the gate, to let Jesus into your heart. He's knocking today, don't turn Him away. Won't you let Jesus into your heart? He wants to come into your heart. Let Jesus in, let Jesus in, let Jesus in to your heart.